Erci Arvizu has been making music for quite a while. She had a number three hit in 1964 with her sisters, and she spent many years fronting bands, including Latin rock giants El Chicano. Yet Arvizu has just now released her debut solo album. It's called Friend for Life, and it was produced by the well-known guitarist, singer, and composer Rye Cooter. The songs are very autobiographical. On the opening track, Windows of Dreams, Arvizu reminisces about being a young girl with a passion for a man's sport.
I sat on my milk crate, made some holes in the wall, wondering what went on the other side. I sat there and watched the boys go by. They all shared the same dream. They all wanted a better life. Boxing was a ticket to riches and fame. My father was a trainer, one by one they came. I wasn't allowed in this man's world. The holes in the wall became my windows of dreams.
Rubbing the rats, taping of the hands, lacing the gloves, the bucket in the corner. I made my way and my cut man's ready. I said my prayers and now it's time to go to war.
My father, in back of our home, he had a gym. A boxing gym. And it was our garage that he actually made into a boxing gym. And because I was like 8 years old, he wouldn't allow me in there because it's a man's sport. And the guys would walk around their shorts. And he just did not allow me in there. So what I did, I made two holes on the wall. And I would sit in my milk crate. And I made the holes right where the ring was. So I could see him spar because that's what I love to see, the sparring. So that's where that song started from.
But your father wouldn't let you in. I mean, he wouldn't let you even think about boxing, I suppose. What was it about the sport that really appealed to you?
I like the art of it. There is an art that you have to know, is how to execute a punch correctly. It's just very a demanding sport as far as you really have to be in shape. So what I liked about it is all the routine of hitting the speed bag, hitting the heavy bag, jumping rope, shadow boxing, all that, because I'm sports oriented, and that's what I liked about it.
There's also all sorts of different people in there, I guess. You can, you don't have to be the strongest guy. You don't have to be a mountain. You can learn to box and...
Yeah, I've always said that you could get a skinny guy at the same weight and get a guy that's muscular. And if you have the brains, you can beat him. Even if you don't have the punch that the other guy has, but if you have those brains and can box him and jab, and once you see him coming into you, just use your jab and move around him and throw your combinations and move. And if you have the condition, you can do that and you can win. And that's what my dad instilled in me, and I seen that with my own eyes.
That's a lesson you can take into a lot of other activities too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Condition is everything.
You sing in that song that boxing was a ticket to riches and fame. Was that also part of the appeal, do you think?
Yes, it is, because a lot of the fighters, or kids, I should say, because I worked with a lot of kids for 18 years, a lot of them come from poverty. They come from the projects, not all of them, but a good number of them.
I got love for you. Yo, where's your visa? I got love for you.
So my dad and I, our idea was to keep them out of gangs. So 2 hours that we'd spend with them at the gym every day was better than them being out, you know, graffitiing the walls or getting into some trouble. So I just felt that that was the thing to do for kids in the neighborhood. I would tell them, you know, this is a good way for you to make money as you grow older if you decide not to go to college. Of course, when I train kids, and like every year I would take 10 kids to Hawaii. And my purpose of that was this. I knew that their families would never afford, I shouldn't say never, but couldn't afford to take them to see that part of the island, because I always thought Hawaii was beautiful. And so I would do a fundraiser with my band at our gym and have two dances, save that money because I needed $5,000 to take 10 kids, okay? And I would take them. And my whole idea was that maybe these kids that saw this would say to themselves, hey, when I get married and get older, I would like to bring my wife here, or I would like to bring my parents here because I got to see this beautiful place. That was my theory of taking them somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. So I did it for like 5 years. And the last year, I even took Oscar De La Hoya. He was on the team to go with us, and his dad and himself was so appreciative, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw him at a book signing, and in my book, he signed, "Thank you so much for the inspiration you gave me."
It's very nice.
So
yeah.
That, to me, was a wonderful. And he was so happy to see me. I hadn't seen him in a numerous years, you know. Right. And that's rewarding because he said, "I'll never forget what you did for me and what you did for the kids in the community."
That's really nice.
So that itself is rewarding.
Do you think if you were that age now, when it is possible for girls to box, do you think you would have maybe pursued a career?
I would have been a champion. I would have been a champion. I know I would have. I'll tell you why. The four professional fights I had four knockouts. Okay. Now, because the girls that were starting, they can throw a jab, but I can honestly say there's a correct way of throwing a jab. You know, you have defense and offense. Now, my dad would teach defense with offense, or offense with defense, I should say. And what happened when I competed, I can throw a combination of five punches. The girls, they can only throw a jab and a right. And then they were lucky if they kept their hands up. So I had been doing this for many years before I got in that ring. So I know for a fact, and I know that I hit pretty hard. So I know that I feel that in these days, you know, I could have probably fought Ali. I could have fought the other girl. What's her name? Though I don't know if I would have fought them only because my weight was low. I was 125, 30 pounder.
It must have given you a lot of self-confidence to do this, too. I was thinking that there's a song on the album, En El Tambo.
That's a prison song.
But I'm thinking about a woman going into a prison and performing. You must have had...
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, like when you hear those doors close behind you, that's an eerie feeling, you know. I used to tell the guys in the band, I said, oh, it's a men's jail, not a women's, so I know they can't keep me or mistake me for one of them, but they could you. they would get all afraid. They were afraid. But it's an eerie feeling to have that door closed behind you. That's why in El Tambo, you know, in part of the song, it even mentions that.
Singing's always been a passion for me. I've done it all my life. I've been blessed with opportunities in this business of strife. In my days with El Chicano, we felt the responsibility. Along with doing concerts, we played some correctional facility.
En El Tambo, es una aventura. En El Tambo, la vida es muy dura.
In our travels, we did a show at Tehachapi State Pen. Pretty nervous being the only woman in a sea of men. Arriving there, we met at the gate by inmates who let us in. Nothing sounds quite the same as those gates closing the city of sin.
En El Tambo, es una aventura. En El Tambo, la vida es muy dura.
Mickey was always with me, I forever knew he had my back. And he made approach and ask if I had a cousin here.
It hit me like a stab, a book subside my head.
There's a variety on this disc as well. They're not all the same thing. There's a very beautiful song called Mi India.
Papacito de mi vida.
Tell me about that one.
Well, that's how I feel or felt about my father, or feel actually, because I still feel that way, even though I don't have him any longer. I shared a lot of good memories. I didn't have no bad memories with him growing up. I had a beautiful childhood. You know, I just wish that I would have recorded this song when he was living so he can hear it, you know.
This is what he used to call you?
Yes. He called me his Indian, you know, because my dad was half Indian. So he called me mi India, you know. And he would always tell me, you know, obey me and hazme caso, you know, that's what the song says. So, and just, you know, how I felt about him is what I wrote about him.
Ursi Arvizu with a song called Mi India. It's from her debut solo album, Friend for Life, which was produced by Rai Cooter.